Let's go back to the fact that Brendan Boyce could not compete in the 50k walk at the World Championships in London due to a hamstring tear. Tell us the background to that.
Well, the background to that was, you know, they were left. The walkers are on today, and that's the end of the championships. And obviously, they stayed in Cork, their choice, and it was the obvious thing to do, not to become an unpleasant environment. They came in late, so they were continuing the training in Cork. And maybe it was 5 days ago, we'll say, he was doing a speed session in Cork, and just twigged his hamstring, and then went to hospital, got it checked, and a grade one tear. And our advice was, this is the situation. You know, you're not going to be able to compete. But, you know, that's a terrible, terrible gunk for Brendan. And we let him come here. We let him to settle into the situation that he could make the decision. And you know, to take him a few days. Let's roll with this for a few days. And then it got to a point yesterday morning where we had to just get real about it all. And right, you can't do this. And we're out in Southwark Park. And you know, just was obviously struggling. So it was very, very, very devastating for him, and very disappointing for him. And you know, that doesn't even begin to explain it, because you have to understand that Brendan Boyce would have been shooting out about 10 training sessions a week for 12 months, certainly 10 months, with a view to performing big time. He felt he was in the best fitness level in his life, mentally and physically, and it just happened 5 days out. So it's a big blow to him. His family all travelled over here. His sister lives here. They were all here. And, you know, all of that, that's another side to the story as well. So, look, very disappointing for him. Unfortunately, that's life. And he's going to have to deal with it. But he didn't get to the start line. And that's the end of the story, really.
Yeah, Patsy, I suppose in the sport that he's in, the walking, and his speciality being 50K, there's only a very small number of opportunities for him to compete at a world level in that event. And then when you miss it, you know, we have to wait whatever, a year or whatever, before you can actually compete again.
Absolutely. And his next, he'll have to wait and you know, recover, get his, you know, everything in order again, get his plans out there, and then say next April, May, plan for a race then, a 50k race or whatever it may be, and it's in China. And you know, we just think maybe it'll be a team race, and we have to figure out whether Rob's going to retire or not. And that would be, you know, if he didn't, then we'd have a right good team. So all of that. But that's right, you're 100% Miles. There ain't too many opportunities. The recovery from 50k's, it's obviously, you know, you drain yourself completely and you're banjaxed, and it's going to take months to recover. And he had such a brilliant, brilliant performance in the European in Podobrady earlier in the season, and, you know, fourth in the Europeans, where he challenged for a medal for so long. So, you know, he was definitely, without you know, going on and on and on about it, he wasn't the best shape of his life.
And maybe the fact that he was in such good shape was a factor in maybe tearing the hamstring, because it often happens when you're in peak condition.
Well, you know yourself, man, just look at these guys at this level, the difference between being injured, being sick, things not going right, and being on top of the world are just like, it's just the smallest, smallest thing you can think of in terms of just the gap. And it's, look, it's a balancing act. It's a trapeze job. It's a John Duffy's circus job. Like, you're on a trapeze and you can go one way or the other. So basically, on this occasion, he went the wrong way.
Yeah, maybe a week earlier and he would have got away with it and got competing, because the speed session that he was doing was going to be at a higher pace than he would be competing in a 50k walk.
Well, true. That's quite true. That's very true. But, you know, Miles, again, just kind of difficult to say, because this is, as I've been quoting, I've been saying all week here, and I've been, you know, interviewed a few times, this is an unbelievably ruthless, brutal world, and every event, and no less than 50k. This is serious, serious stuff at this level, and if you have any wee twink at all, you're banjaxed, you know.
Mm-hmm. And one other factor, but that may not come into his head at this point in time, is probably all about disappointment, but funding, you know, if you don't compete, I suppose it leaves it difficult for the association or Sport Ireland to fund an athlete.
Well, that, you know, believe it or not, that was dealt with there and then in central London in a public park. That was dealt with, and mainly indicate to him that, listen, your funding is secure, and you know, let's deal with that. Let's not, because you see, he kind of did say as new Park Farmers director in the 30s area. And I did say to Paul, I said, Paul, as fellow fans, fourth in the Europeans, there's no excuse for not giving them East London. And, you know, so I hope that'll be, that'll ring true now.
Well, that's good to hear, because it, you know, again, as a man going to devote another couple of years of his life to walking and, you know, and having to try and support himself at the same time.
Aye, exactly. And, you know, everybody needs to understand this fella has, this is his life. This is his life. You know, he's working up a 12,000 a year grant at best. And that is to keep him, that is to keep him, feed him, travel, everything within a 12-month period, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's no fortune and it's tight going and he's dedicated himself. Now, whether he will, you know, he, look, it's the wrong time to be chatting to him about what's your next plan, what are you going to do? It's just not, I will tell you, there's been very little conversation since it happened between me and him, and he can, I understand, he understands, there's no good in chatting about it. It's just, it is what it is. And that's it.
Okay, let's look at the positive with Rob Heffernan competing today. He finished in 8th position. Not bad, considering.
No, we came into these championships, you know, maybe thinking he would get a medal. You know, maybe that was unrealistic of us. But your man broke the world record. The French guy, he went apeshit at the start. And he just drove it on and drove it on. And, you know, he did the same in Rio, this French guy. And, you know, he collapsed with about 5K to go. Collapsed, I mean, collapsed just out on the road, and he didn't make, he got 45k. We thought maybe the same might happen today. It didn't happen today, and this Denise guy broke the world record, and two Japanese then and behind him. So no, I don't think, now when I see it today and look at it today, I don't think Rob was ever going to get a medal, but we did think he might. But I felt he competed extremely well. He finished 8th. That was a massive performance from him. He struggled for about 15k in his head. That was his first session. I told him afterwards, and he said, you know, Patty, I'd really struggled there for 15K. I wanted to drop out, didn't know what to do. You know, he wasn't, you know, he was struggling. He was 19th, 20th. And he came through in the last phase of the race, unbelievably, to finish 8th. So I'd say he'd be happy, you know, when he looks at it in the cool light of day. It's a big, big performance to finish 8th in the world. So I'd say he'd be happy. But look, sadly, in some ways, it's the best performance by an Irish athlete here this last 10 days. So, you know, good luck to him.
Yeah, he has indicated, as I understand from reports here, that he is going to retire. Have you heard that?
There's a bit of a debate about that, I think. I wouldn't just nail that to the wall now. I wouldn't nail that to the wall. There was a story went up there in the 30s, and then they were told to take it down. Miles, because, you know, to be honest, boys are making up stuff here, and basically, they kind of, you know, they want to write the story before it. So I'd say, I would, you know, after a big championship like this, this is not the time for him to be talking about retiring. He needs family to think about it and then announce it, you know. But, you know, there's a lot of emotion. There's a lot goes on, you know, after an event like this. People say stuff, and maybe he did, maybe he didn't. And, you know, he did say, and then he pulled it back. But look, we'll have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Patsy, let's go back to last night. The farewell race by Usain Bolt in the relay, the 4x100 meter relay. A sad ending, pulling his perhaps hamstring muscle as well. Not the way he wanted to get to finish on the athletic track.
No, it's been probably a disappointing championships for Usain. But look, we can allow him that. You know, I mean, obviously disappointment for the crowd. Everybody wants him. Everybody wills him to do well. He's such a popular figure, and he is the popular figure in world athletics, and it didn't work for him. And it didn't work for Jamaica. So, you know, they, between Jamaica and the US, have dominated that 4x1 forever and ever, it seems. And what happened last night was massive for the British and massive for Stephen Maguire.
Yes.
You know, from Strabane. We need to really jump up and down. This was Stephen Maguire's team. This man was under serious pressure coming out of a training camp in Paris, dealing with, you know, the BBC. I'll tell you, they're all one, and they're all as one, and they're listening to that. It's a lot of nonsense. So he had to pull it together and to hold it together and make decisions and train the team. And it's an unbelievable achievement for a man from Strabane to do it. And his women's team finished second in the World Championship. So I just... you know, I was well delighted, absolutely delighted for Stephen Maguire last night. But I veered off your question, Miles. But
no, I was going to come to that because
I come to it in a minute. We'll stay with you saying.
Yeah.
People were disappointed, obviously, for you saying disappointed. I'm sure the 100 was a damper completely because I mean, if Coleman had won it, we'd be happy, but not certainly not Gatlin. I mean, Gatlin is nobody wants Gatlin won on anything. He shouldn't be in the sport. He shouldn't be here. He was banned on two occasions in his lifetime. He should have been out of the sport for life. But the constraints of legal constraints at this time in athletics allowed him back in. And at 35, he won the 100. So that was unfortunate for Usain as well. But look, he'll deal with it the way he always deals with everything. He's a fun guy, and he'll probably come back into the stadium tonight and run around and keep, you know, as a final farewell as well. So a big night tonight again.
Yes, it's not the way to go, but as you say, he's entitled to one day off, I suppose, and the fact that he was going to retire, he knows himself that he probably has come to the end of his career from a winning point of view. So, but it was unfortunate. He had too much ground to make up, probably tried that little bit too hard and pulled the muscle.
That's probably it, Miles, and you know, it's just it wasn't the script that we wanted, but sure, that's sport, isn't it? That's what keeps us all good, the sport. You know, you just don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, unfortunately, there was disappointment, in fairness. Everybody was disappointed. There's about 50 from Finn Valley over here, and I was talking to them afterwards as well, and all the kids, now they're all disappointed. Look, that's just the way it goes. That's sport. Mm-hmm. That is sport.
And I suppose a little bit disappointed that a man that competed at the Finn Valley Boxing Day race, Mo Farah, didn't win the 5K last night.
Aye, the British would have been seriously disappointed with him too, that he didn't want it, and he probably adopted the wrong tactics, as it turned out. But look, he has had a great career on the track, and he's been unbelievable for British athletics, you know, and just as that wee question mark, unfortunately, all the time, it's everybody kicks back in with, you know, about his, you know, his about Salazar, you know,
yeah,
you know, and that. But to be honest, he's an unbelievable athlete, and he's been unbelievable for British athletics. And the other thing is, you know, himself, and the other interesting thing here, Miles, is that 1.1 million tickets were sold for athletics here. You know, athletics on this occasion, and I make this point now because we've been under such pressure in athletics with the dopers and stuff. And basically to say that the match of the day had to be pushed back 20 to 30 minutes to stay on athletics last night. The golf's on the red button. And I think all indications like that kind of prove to me that, you know, athletics still has a big world out there and can grab attention. And it certainly grabbed attention in the last 10 days. And, you know, as I say, 1.1 million tickets sold.
Massive interest on it, there's no doubt about that. And a very, very high standard, you would have to say, a great world championship from an athletic and competitive point of view.
Aye, and, you know, the word here in the street is, you know, that the sport is beginning to get the better of the anti-doping thing. And, you know, you're getting people, there are no records being broken here, other than Athpala and the walk today. There's no records being broken here to this point. There's unexpected people winning races. You know, it's a more even game now. And all indications, there's a positive vibe out here now that, you know, that they're catching up. They're catching up and they're getting ahead in terms of doping in this sport. And, you know, and I always said in Highland, I said it 1,000 times that a lot of other sports need to go at this doping thing as well. But I only can talk for my own, and I'm happy to report that I think we're beginning, you never know, Miles, I think we're beginning to get the better of it, and the sport is cleaner now. And these championships, I think, if you look at the results, look at where people were coming from, the unexpected results in many instances, you know, guys popping up, young fellas coming on the scene. I think it's a big positive story for athletics.
And I think the fact that they're serious about it, that you have to be serious about it from an organisation point of view, and I think athletics are. And secondly, the fact that you can keep the sample and you'll be found out later, maybe not now, but down the road. And then again, you know, what's the point in winning it today and
exactly.
Losing it tomorrow?
100% imagine. I think that, you know, that scares them too. And they know that they might go home with a medal, but sure, 5 years, 6 years from now, the anti-doping people will catch up with them, and they're holding their tests. So that's good. That's all good news. And there was blood tests now that have come in. Used to be all urine tests. So everybody here is blood tested. So look, it's going in the right direction, mate. Most definitely, definitely.
And I suppose one further point, top of the table medals-wise, and that's a big interest as well, of course. The USA doing particularly well at these championships.
The USA, they're a massive program in athletics through the collegiate system and then onwards. It's a massive country to begin with, and it's a developed country and stuff, you know. So the USA are up there, sure they are. But there's just so many things changed this time, and we're all pretty happy. Everybody here, as we speak, just sitting around waiting for athletes to go into competition, have these conversations, and that is positive, man. In fairness, it is positive.
And we'll end on a positive note. We'll go back to Stephen Maguire, the Strabán man that competed in Ulster Sports Council events, involved in coaching for a good number of years, went to Scotland coaching and handpicked then to compete to get involved with the GB team, and maybe a relay specialist, and there's the results last night.
Aye, and a strong personality as well. You have to be seriously a strong personality to work on this level, because it's a world where you have to be decisive, and you can't be trying to please anybody at any point. And he's been strong in that regard, and he stood up, and he's taken some of the guys that you see on TV. You know, for example, Jamili, who ran an unbelievable relay leg for the British last night. He dropped him from the individual event on World War III. He was breaking out in the background for a week there, and all sorts of nonsense going on, and he held his line and then brought him into the relay, and the fellow did unbelievable in the relay. So absolute credit to him. I just thought about it, I thought about Strabán, and I thought about Jerry McDonald, and introducing young fellas to athletics, and Never would he have imagined that a young fella that came out of that group, and God rest Jerry, that a young fella would eventually lead the best relay 4x1 team. The first time ever the British have ever in history won the 4x1 men's relay team. This former Strabán AC man would be completely in charge of that.
And of course, he brought Jason Smith to the level that he has achieved as well by going to America and coaching him there and so on. So another accolade for Stephen.
Exactly, and that was tough. But he had to leave his home, and he had to leave his family, and he had to go, and people wouldn't have known, and there would have been no acknowledgement for it. And he spent a couple of years with Jason at Claremont and in Florida, and me and him would talk day in, week out, and you just thought it's so lonely. It's a lonely, lonely, lonely business. And you're building on an athlete with a view to him expressing himself at a major championship. And, it can go whatever way, but he stuck with it. And he delivered Jason Quigley, Jason Smith, yeah. And delivered performances, Olympic, Paralympic medals. And that was beginning for Stephen. Then he went to Scotland, as you rightly say, made a good job in Scotland, because if there's 16 Scottish athletes on this British team, and he kind of turned it around before the Commonwealth Games last time, and then it moved on from that. And as you say, he was headhunted then for the British job. So that's where he's at.